Follow On podcast here on followoncricket.com. Chinmay Vaidya, Parth Joshi, Anish Tal, and Cricket Adda's Shubham Kulkarni joins us here for the IPL mid-season check-in. It's been basically the halfway point. Some teams have played 8 games. Most teams have played 7. And we'll check in on each team, look at what they've been doing well, what they've been doing poorly, and what things need to change for them in the second half of the season. And as of this recording, the Kings 11 Punjab sit at the bottom, so we'll start with them. Kings 11 have been pretty unlucky, in my opinion. They are 5th on net run rate, but 8th in the standings. KL Rahul and Mayank Agarwal have been absolutely unreal at the top. They're 2 of the top 3 leading run scorers, I believe. And they had the super over with Delhi that they lost. They had, you know, Rahul Tewatia's amazing innings against the Royals that they lost. KKR's chase that they botched at the end. So they've been pretty unlucky in my opinion, but they're at the bottom and they're pretty much out of it at this point. What do you guys think of Kings 11 season so far? And is there any chance for them?
Really difficult now because I think they have won just 1 in 7. So they have to win each and every game if they want to qualify surely. 8 makes you qualify surely. So it's really difficult. You said they were unlucky, but at times it's them who have lost the games instead of the opposition team winning it. Like the one against Delhi Capitals, they needed 1 of 3 balls. Then the one against Kolkata Knight Riders, they were just winning it. They sent in Pramsimran Singh instead of Glenn Maxwell. And then the last ball, 4 instead of 6. And then even against Rajasthan Royals. Rajasthan Royals needed 51 of the last 3 overs and they gave away it in 2 overs. Mohammad Shami and Sheldon Cottrell got smacked all over the park. So the death bowling is a huge concern. Chris Jordan isn't firing and the middle order. Glenn Maxwell is just not doing anything. I think they might bring in Chris Gayle for the next game. But as you said, it's really difficult for them.
Yeah, I agree, Shubham. It's a long way up from 1 win in 8 matches. But, you know, I feel like this team, the talent they have doesn't quite reflect the record that they have compared to some of the other teams, what I'm seeing. I mean, like Chinmay was saying, the performance of the top of the order has been very good for them. But I think KL Rahul has got a lot of slack for playing some slower innings. And I think it's, while certainly it's unfortunate that he has to play at that pace, the way his middle order has performed, you can understand why he's trying to hang in there and not take too many risks. Glenn Maxwell has for sure been one of the biggest busts of the tournament so far, and so that's put even more pressure on the top order to stay in and score runs. And, you know, Mandeep Singh and some of these other people they've been trying out in the middle order, no one has stepped up and played a defining innings. And then, like Shubham also mentioned with the bowling, just it's been absolute shambles for them. I think really the only player that's stood up and bowled semi-decently has been Ravi Bishnoi, their spinner. But otherwise, all of their paces are just getting hit all over the park. It's leaving too much for this batting order to do. And outside of Agarwal, KL Rahul, and Puran has looked better than I anticipated, honestly. But other than those 3 players, I don't see this turning around significantly enough to get a playoff spot.
I completely agree with Shubham and Anish here. I think they've dug themselves into too much of a hole to really come back from it and actually make the playoffs here. I definitely agree with Anish's first points. I think the major downfall for them here has been the middle order batting. And I think a lot of it is attributed to the fact that KL Rahul and Mayank Agarwal have taken up a lot of the balls in this tournament. And is that necessarily a bad thing? No, because they're great batsmen and you see on all stats fronts, they're pretty much at the top of the table in this tournament. But, as a consequence of that, their middle order hasn't gotten that many balls to face. They haven't really gotten into a rhythm. And when they've needed them to score runs, in turn, because of that, they haven't been able to score runs. As far as the bowling goes, I think Shami has bowled pretty well. Bishnoi has been pretty good. Sheldon Cottrell, I know Shubham already mentioned the lot of runs that they gave there. Sheldon Cottrell, 5 sixes and over to Rahul Tewatia, so that won't help your economy rate or your strike rate against. But besides that, I think their bowling has been okay too. So for me, it's really the middle order. And even if they do shape up, like these guys have said, just not enough time left for them to make a turnaround here. So yeah, unfortunately, I think for me at least, Kings 11 finished at the bottom of this table.
I absolutely agree with what you guys have said. I would like to address sort of the unluckiness and what they've performed, sort of that conversation. I absolutely agree. They've played very poorly. There's no doubt about that. They have absolutely botched some winnable games. But I think when you look at the net run rate, right, they're fifth on net run rate. So maybe their performances in terms of that, a couple games go their way here and there, right? Maybe instead of only 2 points, they're sitting at 6 points and they at least have a chance in the second half of the season. I want to read you Glenn Maxwell's innings because he was their big buy at the auction and he was supposed to make a triumphant return to Kings 11. Here are his scores in the IPL so far. 1, 5, 13, 11, 11, 7, and 10. He has not topped 15 runs in a single IPL innings this season. That's just a massive, massive disappointment for a guy who was supposedly going to really thrive in UAE conditions. So, I mean, there's no excuse for Glenn Maxwell's performance, in my opinion. Your takes on Maxwell and his struggles and if there's anything he can do to really turn it around, because it looks like he's just lost out there.
Yeah, completely agreed. I mean, I don't know what exactly it is. Like you said, Chinmay, I mean, he was supposed to be, you know, one of those batsmen who can really get going on these sort of pitches in the UAE, but just hasn't panned out. Like I said, you know, Rahul and Mayank, although they've been scoring really well, them taking up a majority of the innings is not really helping the middle order in terms of establishing a rhythm to really go out there and score a lot. But at the same time, with that being said, Glenn Maxwell has gotten his opportunities. He's came in with a lot of overs remaining and has just flopped. So while I want to blame it a little bit on the fact that he hasn't gotten into situations where he really thrives in, you're definitely right that he's struggling. So as far as what he can do going forward, it's really tough. Usually he's great against the spin, hasn't been able to time the ball there. So really looking to see what he can do against spin, especially going forward in this tournament.
Yeah, the only other suggestion I had was maybe switching him and Puran in the order where he comes in a little bit earlier so he gets to face more of that middle order spin, gets a little more time to settle in before smacking, just because clearly that lower order role hasn't panned out so far. I mean, we saw even just today CSK kind of flipped the script and throw Sam Curran from the number 7 spot to the top of the order, and that worked out pretty well for them. Maybe that's something Kings 11 need to look into to get more out of Maxwell.
Yeah, Glenn Maxwell has been a really, really big disappointment. And the surprising thing is that he came in great form because he scored a match-winning century in the last game against England, was in good form. Everybody was talking about Glenn Maxwell, how he will smack the spinners out of the park. And now with the pitches getting slower and slower, I think it's just going to be difficult for him. And I just think that Chris Gayle is going to get a chance instead of him in the next couple of games, if he's fit.
Ooh, love to hear that.
Yeah, we'll see if Chris Gayle makes an appearance here in IPL 2020. I'm sure a lot of fans will like to see a familiar face out there. We'll move now to the Rajasthan Royals, who are 7th in the standings, but they're tied with CSK and Sunrisers in terms of total points. So this second band, so to speak, after Kings 11, they're all at 6 points. So it's kind of a group here. But Royals are 7th as of this recording. They're last on net run rate, and basically outside of 2 match-winning innings from Rahul Tewatia, they have not looked very good, and he is probably solely responsible for the position that they're in right now with even a chance to contend for a playoff spot here in the second half. I want to go to that match against Kings 11 because I don't think the reputation and reaction to one player has changed that dramatically over the course of like 50 balls. Because forget benching him for the tournament. There was talk, at least in our conversations, there was talk of him just going back home, out of UAE entirely. Like not even playing the rest of the IPL. We went from that to him hitting basically every ball for 6 and now he's the greatest cricketer of all time.
It was a rough stretch of 10 dot balls, Chinmay.
So, what he did and where this team would be without Rahul Tewatia is just incredible to think about. Ben Stokes comes back into the side now for Rajasthan Royals. And for me, you know, Jos Buttler really hasn't clicked for them. And Jofra Archer and Shreyas Gopal have been solid in terms of bowling. But their batting really needs to, in my opinion, step up now. I mean, we've seen a couple of great innings from the lower order, but they can't keep doing this. They need some help from Butler, Sampson, and Smith and Stokes now, who's coming into the side. I think if those top four can get going, Royals do have an outside shot to make the playoffs here in the second half.
Yeah, this is a team where I'd say their record is definitely better than how they've performed. Ben Stokes is a really big addition for them. You know, he's a bowler. He's a very good depth bowler. He does really well mixing in the cutters with his pacers. He's good at bowling bouncers. I think he's going to be a huge bowling asset for them. And I think it's just a matter of finding out where is going to be the best spot for him in the order, because, you know, they have this established with Butler at the top. They've had Jace Wall at the top opening up with him. So you've got a lefty-righty Indian-foreigner combination. Smith coming in one down, Sampson coming in two down. You know, we're waiting for some more Sampson big innings for him. And so I think Stokes filling in the middle order, being that lower order muscle to go with Tawatia, I think that's where he'll be best suited.
Yeah, I mean, for me, Anish, I think you hit the nail on the head. For me, it's about what their batting lineup is going to be going forward and how they use their players to their advantage. I mean, if you really look at it, I think they have the most talented international team of four. You know, they're four international players that they can play. I think it's the most talented in this IPL. I was talking about this with my father too a little bit a while ago, and he agrees the same way. You know, you have Steve Smith, now you have Ben Stokes coming back. Joss Butler is fantastic. So, you know, there's a lot to be excited about, and I think for me it's really about, is Steve Smith going to put himself to open at the beginning? You know, we saw Yashasvi Jaiswal come in open in three or four matches now in this IPL. He has flopped really badly in all four matches. I think that's been a big factor of why they've lost some of these run chases. It's really hard to get going when your opening batsman comes out, faces 12 balls for, you know, 5 to 6 runs and then gets out. So I think Steve Smith needs to put himself at the top of the order. He needs to open the innings with Joss Butler. And now with Stokes coming in, they have a really solid option at 4 or 5. And, you know, I think they have the batting lineup. Sampson at 3 or 4 has been hit or miss in the last few matches. But when he gets going, if there's runs on the board from the first two openers, he's able to really get going. So, and we've seen that in the past. So for me, it's really about how Rajasthan strategizes, how they bowl their bowlers, because they do have good bowling, and how they set their lineup. Because I think they have a shot at the playoffs still.
Yeah, most of you covered all the points. They're just that you need to get their batting lineup right, because one game Steve Smith is opening, then Yashasvi Jaiswal is opening, and in the last game Ben Stokes opened. So you can't keep chopping and changing your openers. Butler stays there. I think they can go in with Robin Uthappa as well, because Uthappa in the middle order is a waste. So maybe up at the top, or just get him out of the team. Either of that, you can do that. And then Smith at 3, Sampson at 4, and as Parth mentioned, Stokes can bat there at 4 and 5, because he is not an opener. So if he bats in the middle order, and if Joss Butler, Steve Smith and Ben Stokes fire, they still have a chance to make it to the playoffs, because they won their last game without any of these three firing. So yeah, and Sanju Sampson has to fire as well, because after the first two games in Sharjah, he's just fallen off the cliff.
Shubham, you mentioned Robin Uthappa. I think we, in at least the core of this podcast, has basically cast Robin Uthappa out of the Rajasthan Royals lineup. So I want to get everyone's thoughts on this. I personally think he should not play in the IPL. I mean, he can be on the roster, but I don't think he should be in the playing 11. I don't think he is at the stage where he can still fire. Even at the top of an innings, I don't think he's the type of player who is going to be able to make that work. So I don't think Robin Uthappa should be in the playing 11, but Anish, Parth, I'd be happy to hear your thoughts on this, because I think we've been pretty clear on this over our numerous podcasts.
Yeah, I think Shivam hit it on the head. It's either he has to go down the order or he needs to be out of the team. It seems like Shivam was emphasizing a little more out of the team, which is what I would agree with, as you said. Yeah, I just don't see a spot for him in this team. I mean, he's not a great fielder. He hasn't scored many runs. I mean, if you really just look at it, for Rajasthan, it really comes down to what are you contributing besides their extremely talented four batsmen that they're relying on to score most of their runs. And aside from that, if you look at it, I mean, Yashasvi Jaiswal had a great catch. He had a direct hit in the last game running someone out. So to me, I mean, that 5 or 6 position, which is where Robin Uthappa belongs, I don't know why he's going up the order, Yeah, it really comes down to things that are not just about batting, and obviously with the Buzz not excelling in the batting itself. So yeah, he needs to leave from this team. They need to bring in some young blood, someone who can, you know, get some experience and bring them some more results going forward in the future. Not right now. They're not built for having some old person come in right now and try to score a few runs.
Yeah, I don't see a spot in the team for him. You know, you have to watch this working way back up. You have to watch it at 7. Rian Parag has played some good knocks, and I think he's earned a spot at 6 for now. And then you have Sampson, Stokes, Butler, and Smith in some order. So you really only have one spot left. And, you know, I think Chasewell certainly deserves a chance. He's a younger guy. He's a left-hand bat. And then, you know, they also have Manan Vora on the bench, too, who can also open. He's opened in the past for Kings 11. I would prefer to play him over Uthappa.
Yeah, I agree with Anish there. If Manan Vora or Yashasvi Jaiswal are getting a chance, then definitely Uthappa has to sit out.
On now to a team that I think many of us have a strong opinion on. We can call them the Grandpa Gang. Chennai Super Kings are sixth in the standings as of this recording after beating Sunrisers. They are also sixth on net run rate, so their performance has been pretty much in line with where they stand in the table. I mentioned on the preview podcast that I think this team is going to be most affected by the shift from India to the UAE and the crowd and the pitches and the environment, because they no longer have that CSK aura about them. They no longer have this like kind of vaunted fortress that you're walking into. They no longer have a pitch that they can fix to their skill set and their roster. They have to go with what they have. And I think when you take out those factors for CSK, they are an average team. And they are exactly what they've proven to be in the first half of this IPL. I just want to give you guys some numbers before you dish your thoughts on CSK. In 2018, when they won the whole thing, they were third on net run rate, but they were tied for the most wins. 2019, they were again third on net run rate, tied for the most wins. This team wins on the margins better than any other team in the IPL. And when you take away those margins from them, they are what they are right now. So in my opinion, this is not surprising by any means. This is just you've taken away the very few advantages that CSK excel in, and now they're sitting at sixth with still a chance to make the playoffs, but it's going to be a hard climb for them.
Yeah, I think you, Chinmay, I couldn't agree more. So obviously the environment is a huge factor for CSK, right? The biggest home crowd by far out of all IPL teams, at least by noise level. You know, Mumbai is up there. You know, definitely the biggest fan base, a lot of beloved Indian players, which is usually big when you're playing in India. They travel well. They have a lot of fans that travel as well. And yeah, like you said, Chinmay, they're a margin team and they win on margins. And aside from the environment, it also comes down to the fact that a lot of their players have gotten old and they can't strike at 150 or 200 in the last four overs anymore. I mean, before you came in and you think if there's 13 runs per over remaining in the last four or five and CSK has five wickets in hand, you know, Jadeja and Dhoni can carry them home. That's been, you know, the strong point of that team. They have enough in the lower order to where they can carry themselves home with a high run rate in the last few overs. And as long as they're in the game a little bit and, you know, they're still there and they're still surviving until the 20th over, they always have a shot. And what we've seen this year is that regardless of them keeping themselves in that game, that margin of can they really win this? Can they actually score these runs? The confidence in that margin has been decreasing a lot, and it's been decreasing each game. And each game we're seeing Dhoni cannot come out and just score 15 runs and over the first time he comes out. You know, Watson and Pfaff, they can't score at over 8 and over in the power play. The middle order is not scoring at 8, right, when Raidu comes in. So, yeah, I think they're a margin team, and they've been below their margin in each facet of the game. That's opening, middle order, and finishing the game in terms of batting. Bowling I won't go into because that's a whole other story, but you know their rock has just been failing them. And I think it's about time that it has been failing them because they don't have the talent anymore or the youth or the speed to come up and do those things that they're accustomed to do, you know, 3-4 years ago where they could win those margin matches. So yeah, again, Chinmay, I think you hit it on the head, and I think they really need to re-strategize as to how they're going to win matches, and what they should do going forward at the beginning of innings, because they're not that team anymore that can just come out and win games as long as they're in it.
Yeah, that's a really great summary, Parth. I think just the big thing that I've noticed, other than what you've mentioned, is the loss of Suresh Reyna is really, that has definitely made a difference for them. Their lack of talented Indian top order batsmen now has been a huge issue for them in terms of team balance. And so that's why, you know, Watson and Pfaff are playing every match, which they were playing most of the matches in the past, don't get me wrong. But, you know, even Kedar Jadhav has been sitting. And so really in their top order, other than Ambati Raidu, it's, you know, you're filling in with these foreigners. And then, you know, you don't even have room to play Imran Tahir, who was one of the leading wicket takers last year. So that really speaks a lot to me. And again, all of the margin stuff that Parth was mentioning earlier.
Yeah, I think Chinmay made a great point there talking about the crowd, because the crowd doesn't only help Chennai, but it puts pressure on the opposition team. So the matches which they were winning in the last overs, it was all about the pressure on the opposition team, and Dhoni knows how to soak in pressure, but that's not there at the moment. And as Parth mentioned, that the old players are not able to score 13s, 14s in the last couple of overs, last 5 overs, and that's why what they tried yesterday was sending Sam Curran up the order, try ask him to make a quick fire 30, which he did, and as a result they got to 160, 168, because that was exactly what they weren't able to do. They were just closing in on 125, 130, 135. So that's something which they worked on, because now they are sending in youngsters up the top. Jadeja can bat up the top because he's batting well. So he is a good player as well. And Jadeja is firing with the ball as well, because the pitches are getting slow now. So I won't rule them out completely at the moment. If the pitches keep getting slower and slower, the likes of Jadeja, Piyush Chawla and Karan Sharma, and if they can find a way to get in Imran Tahir, then they can still be a team to look forward in the next half.
Yeah, Shivam, I completely agree with that. The point you made about the decision to send Sam Curran up, I was really thrilled to see that as well. I mean, you know, it slowed down in the middle overs, but it was really great to see CSK finally get off to, you know, hitting some boundaries in the power play. That's been something that they just haven't been able to do for the first 7 matches. So, yep, that was a good decision to see from Dhoni, and hopefully that continues in that trend where they're sending up people who can score some runs at the top of the order.
Yeah, and tying back into Kings 11 Punjab and sort of the unlucky streak that they've had, I believe CSK won against Kings 11 Punjab by 10 wickets, with both those openers putting up big runs. So the one match where CSK's openers performed was also against Kings 11 Punjab. But I agree with Parth.
We can't have a season without them two chasing down at least one score by themselves, right, Chinmay?
Yeah, that's a great point. I think they absolutely have one of those innings in them. Usually it's in the final for one of them.
Exactly.
But yeah, it comes at this point.
For me.
Yeah, it comes in this point, which is the first half of the season, which is good for everyone who doesn't want to watch that in a final once again. I think their experimentation with the roster and restructuring the batting order is good, because they don't have the personnel to put up those 15, 16 runs per over in the last 5. So their best bet is to go after it in the first 6 overs and eventually build their way to a point where they can maybe get 10, 12 in those last 5 and put up 165, 170, 180. Because against some of these better teams, they're not going to be able to get away with 155, 160 consistently. And when you look at their schedule, you know, the 3 games that they have up next, I believe, are Delhi, Rajasthan, and Mumbai. So they're probably not going to win all 3. And I would bet against them in the Delhi and Mumbai matches. So for them to make the playoffs here, I think it's going to be very difficult. I think they're going to have to pull some serious rabbits out of the hat. And this is the UAE. This isn't Chennai. So they don't have the environment to do that, in my opinion. But I think the experimentation has been good. I think it's been very necessary, given that they've been a consistent side for such a long time without having to change much. And now they're finally having to kind of innovate and move pieces around for the first time in a long time. And I think it's been good for them. And Anish, you mentioned the Suresh Reyna injury. I think that's been absolutely huge for them. A left-handed bat at number 3 who can come in and score runs and who has scored lots of runs in the IPL. I think they're desperately missing that right now. And maybe Sam Curran can give them that. Maybe Jadeja can come in at the top of the order and give them that. But they're desperately missing Reyna right now. The other team that, as of this recording, has struggled and is now sitting in fifth. They were in fifth, I believe, before the match that they played against CSK, and they still are in fifth, and that is Sunrisers Hyderabad. They have also really struggled in the middle order. I want to highlight David Warner real quick, and I'm just going to read off the scores and tell me what you guys think of these scores, and then I'll make my further point on David Warner. So here's his IPL so far: 6, 36, 45, 28, 60, 52, 48, and 9. Just give me your initial reaction to those scores.
Yeah, on initial reaction, you would look at it and say, you know, a couple flops, but overall, as far as T20 goes, not bad scores. You know, a couple 50s in there, some 30s, 40s, things that you want as your opening batsman to get off to a start, play through the power play, and let your middle order, you know, come in at a good time where they're with wickets in hand, where they're able to score some runs. Although I do think I know where you're going with this, Chinmay, but that's a blind impression of those scores.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think today was the first time he got out in the power play so far. So, yeah, what Parth said.
Yeah, the scores look good, but what I think is with the scores, you have to see the number of balls faced. And as just like KL Rahul, David Warner as well is just trying to stay at the crease for a long time so that the middle order is not exposed to some good bowling. And that's what is hampering their chances, because SRH fire when Bairstow and Warner dominate the opposition, which they did against Kings XI Punjab. So I think that's what a point I would like to make.
Shubham hinted at it, and Parth hinted at it, and I'll give you the numbers. David Warner's strike rate in this IPL so far is 121.9. Quite frankly, that's just not good enough for a player who has consistently been one of the best run scorers in IPL. Last season, he played only 12 matches. He was the leading run scorer by 100 runs. This guy has dominated this competition consistently for a long time at strike rates nearing 140, 145, 150. For David Warner to have two half centuries at a strike rate of 122 with a couple of close calls, a 45 and a 48, for a team that relies so heavily on their openers is just not good enough. But on the flip side, I do think that if there's any player that can turn it around and has the ability to turn it around, it is David Warner. So I expect a huge second half for David Warner, and I think Sunrisers will be better off because of it. Their middle order has been atrocious, and Mitchell Marsh, the injury to him, that really hurts them in terms of having a finisher lower in the order. We saw that from their match against CSK, where they just didn't have anybody at the end to put up those runs. I mean, Rashid Khan hit a few sixes. Rashid Khan is not what you would call a finishing batsman by any means. His job is to bowl those four overs and dominate with the ball. Kane Williamson, fantastic middle order player. I think it was ridiculous that they were thinking of having him out of the side because of his previous struggles in IPL. But I think he's proven that they need him in the middle order. This team has some serious middle order concerns that they have never really addressed. They don't have a finisher. That's probably because Mitchell Marsh's injury. Bhuvneshwar Kumar's injury has hurt them in the bowling, but they've overcome that to some degree. Their biggest problem, in my opinion, is that their openers just haven't fired at the level that they previously have.
Yeah, this is a team that has been lacking quality Indian middle to lower order bats for a long time, and so the top order in their bowling has traditionally carried them. And you know, a name that we have all praised in the past and hoped he's done well and just hasn't panned out has been Vijay Shankar, who's finally back in the lineup. He's, like before, has the potential to be a difference maker and could be that guy. But again, you look at the roster and their alternatives. They have like Abdul Samad, Abhishek Sharma, Srivats Goswami, and Riddhiman Saha. So none of those names really light up the score sheet or get you really excited for that lower order. So, and it's tough. Even you mentioned that Mitchell Marsh injury, but I challenge you to tell me who he would have played it for. Are you going to take out Warner, Bairstow, Williamson, or Rashid Khan? I mean, that's another fabulous four overseas players, like with Rajasthan Royals as well. So, you know, this is a roster construction issue, and it's showing.
Yeah, it is, because David Warner yesterday mentioned that every time they take the field, either there will be a bowler shot or there will be a batsman shot. Yesterday, they were a batsman shot because they brought in Shahbaz Nadeem for Abhishek Sharma. And in the earlier matches, they were a bowler shot because Abhishek Sharma was playing and they had only four bowlers. And Abhishek Sharma and Abdul Samad were bowling the overs of the fifth bowler. So, yeah, that's something that they have to watch out for in the next half. And Vijay Shankar has to fire. Manish Pandey can do better. And Priyam Garg is a youngster, so you can't really rely on him at the moment. But, yeah, if Vijay Shankar and Manish Pandey start firing, and with Warner and Bairstow up at the top, they can get through, because T. Natarajan is bowling well, Khalil is doing his job, and Sandeep is swinging the ball up front, and Rashid Khan, as usual, is at his best. So, yeah.
I think the biggest problem here for the Sunrisers is, number one, as you said, roster construction, right? They're fully reliant on their international players. Mitchell Marsh, obviously injured now, but that was supposed to be a big piece of this team. Moma Nubi came in for one match only, because it's really hard to find a spot now with Rashid Khan, Bairstow, Warner, and Williamson. But he bowled four overs at an economy rate of under six and hasn't gotten a chance again in this squad. So there's that up there. And then, you know, the middle order, like we've already mentioned, is very freaky. A lot of them have flopped in the past. So it's really up to David Warner and Johnny Bairstow. And Chinmay, you mentioned an interesting point. It's, can these guys actually be as good as they were last year? What we don't remember is that last year, they've probably been the best IPL opening partnership in history. If you just look at the games that they played last year specifically, Johnny Bairstow and David Warner. So are they going to be able to replicate that this year and going forward, in years going forward? I don't know, because that's one of the best partnerships that we've ever seen in IPL. So can they really rely on that, you know, scoring over 70 runs each time? I don't know. And so there's a lot of question marks on this team. Also a lot of upside. You know, Bhuvaneshwar will be back later. They have Rashid Khan and Moma Nubi and Bhuvaneshwar, who are all in the top 10 of economy rate and strike rate for bowlers in the IPL. And then Natarajan has one of the most dot balls in the IPL because he bowls a fantastic Yorker. So they have a lot of talent. It's just so many different variables that are coming into play with international players, players' form, bowling form. So I'm going to stick with them being in the top four for me, but there's a lot of question marks on this team.
You guys mentioned roster construction, and I want to quickly get to this because ahead of the IPL, the Sunrisers made a move to name David Warner captain this year, and that was a switch from Kane Williamson in the past. And this is pure speculation. There's no like reporting behind this or anything. This is purely speculation as to what the move was that if Williamson was named captain, they would have to play him in the matches. And if Warner is captain, they can leave Williamson out and bring in another international player. But as we've seen, their middle order without Kane Williamson is just desolate. So they have to play Williamson now. So that move that they were maybe thinking of doing, again, pure speculation, that hasn't worked out. And they basically didn't give themselves any backup plan because in the auction, they didn't go after any middle order batsmen who were available. They don't really have a finishing batsman. So I understand, you know, where is Mitchell Marsh going to play? Where is Mohammad Nubi going to play? It is a concern for them because I think you can't take the openers out and you can't take Rashid Khan out. So that really only leaves Kane Williamson as your possible option. And you have to bank on the fact that maybe your openers aren't going to put up historic numbers once again. And so you have to leave Kane Williamson in. And so I think it's purely a roster construction issue, but as Parth mentioned, they also have a lot of talent. So I'm not counting them out, but I do think it's going to be difficult for them. And I think we're still going to see this freakish nature for them in the rest of IPL 2020. On to team number four in the standings. They are at 8 points. So they're ahead of teams 5 through 7, but below teams 1 through 3. And that is the Kolkata Knight Riders. KKR are 7th on net run rate, but 4th in the standings. So they have probably punched above their weight. Pat Cummins, the big buy for this season, has not performed. He's currently 49th in wickets taken and 36th in economy rate. For a guy who went for 15.5 crores, That is simply not good enough. Andre Russell has really struggled. His scores this season, 11, 24, 13, 2, 5, and 16, coming at a strike rate of 142, which is well below his 170, 180, 190 range. KKR have a great roster, very talented, but I think this is a team in danger of falling off because the names on paper have not actually performed on the field.
Yep, completely agree, Jinmai. I mean, do you guys remember, I think we did a mock IPL draft about a couple months ago, and I believe the first overall pick was made by me, and that was Andre Russell. And I think in hindsight, if that happened in this IPL, I would be dead last because he is just not performing to the capabilities that we know he can. Just hasn't been able to get boundaries off, even on short boundary pitches, short boundary fields. He hasn't been able to score many runs. He's been an anchor for them. You know, you rely on him to come out and at least once in every three matches score 50 in 15 to 20 balls, and that just hasn't happened. Besides that, a lot of questions at the top of the order. Narayan has flopped immensely. They've decided to bring in Banton. Personally, not a big fan of Banton. He struggled a lot against the Australian bowling lineup in the T20s in England when he came in, and clearly struggled in his first match where he came in. Can he turn that around? Possibly. But is he a future T20 opening batsman? Not for me. Definitely not in subcontinent pitches. He likes the ball coming on a lot and is great on pace. But, you know, I don't see him scoring a lot of runs for KKR here. And Chinmay, as you mentioned, you know, bowling, when you spend a lot of money on a bowler who is not performing as a top three bowler in the league, history has shown us, as you've mentioned in the past, Chinmay, that you're not going to have a great team if you spend that much money on a bowler like that. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think KKR is on the downturn. I think they're lucky to be in the position that they are right now at fourth in the table. I think they should be a lot lower. Really, for me, I don't see them getting past, you know, the top six in the by the end of this tournament, unless they can have a real turnaround by Andre Russell. Because even if the top of the order, you know, Dinesh Karthik, even if Shubman Gill plays well, I just don't see them having the firepower to really beat any of the top teams in this tournament.
Going back to that fantasy draft, the first two picks of that fantasy draft were David Warner and Andre Russell. And those are not looking so hot right now. So, just want to throw that out there. Anish, go ahead.
I'm a little more optimistic about KKR than I think you guys are. Again, I think they have a very talented roster. There's just a lot of their batting is yet to click. And, you know, the question still remains in the air. When is Rahul Tripathi going to get to open and open consistently? You know, we'd love to see Tripathi, Gill, and Nitish Rana as an all-Indian top three. I think that's what they need, and that just hasn't got to management yet. But, you know, we're giving Pat Cummins a hard time. Another big buy that hasn't hit off for them yet has been Oyen Morgan, you know, captain of this, like, amazing England team. So talented, can hit the ball and score, hit match-winning innings left and right. And, you know, him and Russell combined, I feel like have really been the big letdown for KKR. And so I'll be looking to see a turnaround from that standpoint. Dinesh Karthik, you know, his role just continues to have question marks above it. Where is he best suited? Should he be up at the top? Should he be coming in lower? I feel like he's in flux every match. He's like almost in the MS Dhoni situation in some ways when I think about him. Another thing to look out for is Kuldeep Yadav. You know, he really hasn't gotten many matches early on. But you know, one of the big trends we've been seeing is the pitches slowing down and starting to turn more. And so I think there might be a role for him in the second half of the IPL.
So, Anish, one question for you, because I agree with you on Morgan, but one thing I would say is that he has had some good innings. I wonder if they've been putting him in the right positions to succeed, because I think he is one of the best T20 batsmen in the world right now. When he's timing the ball, I think he's in the top five T20 batsmen in the world when he's in form. So I wonder what you think about where they've been putting him and whether he's been in the right positions to succeed so far.
I mean, you know, you say he's a top batsman, and so he needs to get deliveries. The thing is, with the England team, you know, he's not playing in the top three for England, and, you know, maybe, like, for his county and, like, whatever, he's playing, like, at the top of the order, sure, but that's just not the role familiar to him. I'd love to see him coming in at number four. I think that would be the best position for him, but I feel like KKR have kind of been jumbling up with their middle order kind of based on the game situation, sometimes putting Karthik up at number four. I think Russell's come early a couple times. Sometimes they send Morgan up, and so they just don't have any definition right now.
Yeah, I agree with Anish that there are just a lot of chopping and changing in the middle order, because Tripathi should open. I agree with that. Tripathi has done enough to open the innings in all the next seven games, along with Shubman Gill and Rana at three, because Rana has performed well so far. And then Morgan at four, Karthik at five, and Russell at six. Maybe that can be their order at the moment. You can change in Russell and Karthik depending on the match situation. If 15 overs have been bowled, then you can bring in Russell for the last 5 overs. But Russell has to score runs for that, because at the moment he's just hitting 1-6 and getting out. So that's not good enough for a player like Russell. And you mentioned about Kuldeep Yadav. He might come into play in the next half, but Varun Chakravarti has been brilliant so far. He has done his job. I think he has out bowled Sunil Narine, and he has done enough to keep Kuldeep Yadav out of the side. So that's something that's really good for KKR. And the young Pacers, Nagarkoti, Mavi, you expect a bit more from them. And Prasidh Krishna has played a couple of games. He has done well. And Pat Cummins, yes, he has to perform well, because you have paid 15.5 crore, but he was never worth 15.5 crore. He was overpaid in the auction. We all agreed with that, and we can see that.
I think another interesting move they could make is taking Banton out of... their batting would be a little shorter. You put Pat Cummins at seven, and you could bring in even Lockie Ferguson as an additional bowler, a little more veteran presence to help with the young Pacers there.
For me, the bowling is not the issue for KKR. I think their batting firepower has just not clicked. And Rahul Tripathi, I mean, don't get me started on Rahul Tripathi's role and the chopping and changing that he's had to go through. This guy has basically become Manoj Tiwari 2.0. All he's done is scored runs, and he's just been tossed around from one spot to the next, trying to find a place for him. This guy was one of my bargain buys of the auction. This is a type of player that when he performs, wins you the league, because everyone has two or three superstars. But it's players like this that when they perform, win you the league. And KKR just haven't found the right mix. I think Andre Russell obviously has to perform, but their management has also been sort of here and there. I mean, the other day in a match, their required run rate for a chase was 13, and they sent in Dinesh Karthik ahead of Andre Russell. I mean, what are you thinking there? There's no world in where Dinesh Karthik is going to get that done. Andre Russell, I know he hasn't performed, but he has that capability. So I think KKR, from a management standpoint, they really need to do something quick, because even though they are sitting at 4 and 2 points ahead of those next three teams at 5, 6, and 7, Sunrisers have the ability to pop. CSK, they're always going to be in a match. And, you know, Rajasthan Royals, when Stokes comes back in, as Parth mentioned, maybe they have the best four international players of all the IPL teams. So KKR definitely have gotten lucky to this point. They're seventh on net run rate, so they're, you know, at near the bottom in terms of actual performance. But I do think it's time for the big names to actually show that they're worth it. It's as simple as that for me.
Yeah, Chinmay, I definitely want to highlight that point about management, which I didn't get to hit on earlier. I think that's huge. I think they have the worst coach and captain combination in this IPL. Brendan McCullum has a very certain style about how T20 should be played. Dinesh Karthik, in my opinion, is not really a captain of a team. I don't think he can really lead a team. So I think when that happens, you get Brendan McCullum tactics, which is why Narine is coming out and, you know, has played the first few games. Now, that's worked in the past, and you can get by with that. But in terms of making adjustments and changing your game style according to your strengths, like you said, Chinmay, right now, KKR's strength is their bowling. As Shivam said, Chakravarti is one of the best spinners in the IPL right now. Mavi and Nagarkoti are not the best pacers, but they've been doing okay. And Pat Cummins is not the best pacer, but he's also been doing above average. So it's really about playing to your strengths. And when you don't have a coach who can adapt their style, one thing, you know, we'll get to this later, but Ricky Ponting, right? He's really shown how to adapt a team, and I don't think they have that right now. So that's huge for being a good T20 team. You have to adapt to what your team is doing well, and it's always going to change game by game in a tournament like this, right? With injuries, the field that you're playing on, form, and all of that. So that's really important, and they haven't been doing a good job of that.
Yeah, if this league is in UAE again next year, Morgan needs to be the captain of this team.
I agree.
Let's jump now to the team currently sitting at number 3 as of this recording. I believe Shubham was the only one who had them in the playoffs on the preview podcast. And it has been delightful to see them finally surround Virat Kohli with 10 other players who can actually win a cricket match. This is RCB sitting at 4th on net run rate, 3rd in the standings, and they've been good. It's not like they've been lucky. They've been performing well. Their bowlers have finally showed up. Navdeep Saini, Yuzvendra Chahal, Washington Sundar. Padikkal and Finch have done enough at the top of the order. AB de Villiers has morphed into this like world-class finisher all of a sudden after struggling the last couple of IPL seasons. And Virat Kohli fired in the last match, and he can continue to fire. Like, Virat Kohli, we don't really think of him as this amazing T20 player, right? His strike rate is not the best. He doesn't always click. Virat Kohli is still 6th, I believe, in runs scored in the first half of the IPL. I mean, that's just what this guy does. RCB have done, in my opinion, a very solid job of balancing their team. I still think they need a good, more consistent middle order bat. We'll see if they can find a way to get that in. And I know that they're looking at Delhi and seeing what Stoinis and Hetmeyer have done, and those two guys who were on RCB last year. I'm sure they wish they could have at least Stoinis, maybe even Hetmeyer back. But these guys have performed well. And, you know, I'm happy to see this, because for all the times that they've come so close to winning this thing, this team is actually good. So I'm happy for Virat Kohli and RCB fans. This team has a legitimate shot, in my opinion, to win the whole thing.
Yeah, they have. And as I mentioned before the IPL as well, Devdutt Padikkal up at the top was going to be key. And AB de Villiers keeping the wickets was going to be key. Because if you saw in the first couple of games, they tried Josh Philippi. He never knew what his role was. And then AB de Villiers agreed to keep the wickets, and that changed their fortunes for them. Because now Padikkal up at the top with Finch, AB at 4, Kohli at 3. You mentioned about the middle order. They can, if they can find a way to get in Moeen Ali, because he's a good middle order batsman, but then they have to drop one of Udana or Morris, and Morris has been brilliant. So maybe if the pitches get slower, really slower, and you want an extra spinner, you can go in with Moeen Ali, because he can bat in the middle order as well. Apart from that, Sundar, Churl as always does his job in the middle overs. Morris has been really, really brilliant in the first couple of games. 5 wickets, if I'm not wrong. And Saini as well as bowled with pace. So yeah, it's working for them at the moment. And as you mentioned, if they can find one more middle order batsman, because Dubey and Sundar have been doing their job, but one more solid middle order batsman, they can be the team to beat this IPL.
Yeah, I think the rest of us have to eat crow for how RCB have performed in the first half of the season. Pretty sure all of us had them rooted to the bottom. So this is quite embarrassing overall for us. But you know, like Chinmay said, they really put things together. I think the big thing for me is none of their top four players are really players that you see throwing away their wicket as much as some of the other teams in the top four. And so, you know, that middle order, when they come in, like Washington Sundar, Shivam Dubey, they're just asked to play like a few balls. Like, they're not asked to like resurrect an innings or have like a monumental chase, like you know, like 50 off of 3 overs. Like, they're not being put in those such terrible situations. And so the platform that's set by the top order is what's really helped make this team successful. In terms of getting Moeen Ali back into the team, you know, if you're going to drop Udana, who has been, you know, all of their bowlers have really been fantastic, honestly. Navdeep Saini and like Washington Thunder, I don't think he's allowed more than 20 runs since in any outing, which is amazing. And he's been bowling early overs in the power play too, so he's definitely grown a lot as a player, and that'll be great for the Indian national team moving forwards. You know, I think they have Umesh Yadav still on their bench too, so that's another option for a fast bowler if you decide to drop Morris or Udana. But Morris has been such an asset at the death, which is really, really important in terms of, you know, an innings changing from 160, 170 to 180, 190, that makes a big difference. And gosh, De Villiers and Kohli have both been really wonderful during this IPL so far.
Yeah, so, you know, off to a great start for sure. I do have to take the opposite position on this, and I'll tell you why. So, Chinmay, surprised to hear that you think they can actually go all the way. I don't think this team is making the playoffs. Here's why. So there's three bowlers right now in the top three as far as economy rate goes. And that's pretty much why they've been winning matches, right? Chris Morris has only bowled 8 overs, but he is the number one bowler in terms of economy rate in this tournament so far. Washington Sundar and Yuzvendra Chahal are the other two in the top 10. Saini and Udana have bowled, you know, every alternate match, and that's, you know, guesstimating, but every alternate match, one of them has been bowling extremely well with an economy rate under 8. Can they keep that up for the rest of the tournament? That's where I have a lot of questions. Chris Morris has been whacked in previous tournaments. He's clearly doing well right now, but I don't know if he can keep this up. And as far as Washington Sundar and Yuzvendra Chahal, they're at the top right now, but as we've been mentioning, that the pitches are all going to slow down, which means that spinners are going to get better and better, and, you know, they're going to play a bigger role in these matches as we go forward. So the margin between Washington Sundar, Yuzvendra Chahal, and the rest of the spinners is going to slowly drop, right? And as far as batsmen go, Buddicull and Finch have played a couple good innings. Buddicull is, you know, he's got raw talent, but I don't see him showing up in huge matches, right? He has the propensity to actually play bad shots against good bowling, and we've seen him get out early a few times. Virat Kohli has struggled. He played one good innings where he scored 90 off 53, and that was mainly because he scored his last 40 runs in about 15 or so balls towards the end of the innings when he was really set. Is he going to get a chance to face 40 balls and score 40 runs in matches and actually allow their team to be in a winning position going forward? I don't know. I don't know if their bowling is going to be good enough to do that. De Villiers is the big, you know, he's the big batsman for me. He can come in and really get going and hit 360. So besides that, I don't know if they have sustainability to really win a lot of matches. I think they've really gotten lucky in 3 of their wins, and I don't know if they're going to have that luck going forward as the pitches get slower. You know, Virat Kohli, he loves pace, right? He's not someone who's going to come out and club the ball. He's going to time it. And as the pitches get slower, his scoring rate is going to drop. So a lot of questions for me, even though they've played well, and I don't see them as a playoff team, even though they've been really good through 7 matches.
So this has been the reverse RCB, at least in the past couple seasons. Usually what happens to RCB is they start off like 0-5, and they leave themselves way too much work to do at the end, and they win 4 or 5 games at the end, but it's not enough. This is like the reverse of that. Now they're sitting at 3rd, and they don't have the sort of no margin for error mentality going into the back half of the season. You mentioned Virat Kohli, and he did have only that one big innings. I agree with that. I think Virat Kohli will kick on. I think I back the talent of the player and the performances that we've seen in the past from him. AB de Villiers has been phenomenal for them. I think the big key with RCB that we've seen in a lot of these other teams is that they don't beat themselves. Anish mentioned this with, you know, their batting style and their approach to the game. They have really not beaten themselves in any way. They've gotten beat, but they haven't thrown it away, as RCB teams in the past have done on a regular basis. They've separated themselves from this middle group of teams as one that is going to consistently play well. And maybe you get unlucky on the day and you don't hit on that particular day, but they have not really beaten themselves, in my opinion. And I think if you're asking me to pick between RCB, Sunrisers, CSK, and KKR, in terms of consistency, I have to go with RCB at this point because the other three teams in that group just haven't done it match in and match out. Now, there are question marks, and when the pitches slow down, as we've mentioned, I think it is going to be difficult for them. And they're definitely below the top two teams in terms of tiers when we talk about contenders. But all it takes is one crazy run from one of these batsmen to get things going at the end of the tournament. And so if you're asking me like a short list of teams, like I think they're going to make the playoffs. I think they've done enough so far to where they can have a wishy-washy back half of this tournament. I don't think any of these teams at the bottom are going to catch them. So I think when you're in, you have a shot. And RCB just haven't been able to get in for, what, three seasons now. I think when you're in, you have a shot, and it's 2020. Weird things have happened in 2020. So I do think RCB have a legitimate shot. There's obviously question marks. But again, just my opinion, I think we all, except for Shubham, props to you on this, we all drastically missed on this team because we thought they were the old RCB. I think this is a better version of some of RCB's best teams in the past.
That is for sure.
If I can quickly make a point here, even if they perform badly, they need just 3 wins out of the 7 games. So somehow one game AB can win them, one game Virat can win them, and one of them, the bowlers, can win them, they can make the playoffs. It's not that difficult for them to make the playoffs from this position is what I think.
Yeah, they've definitely left themselves a lot of room for error this time around. Definitely something different from previous RCB teams. On to team number 2 in the standings, the Delhi Capitals. Anish, this is your time to shine. Give us everything on your Delhi Capitals, why they've been so successful. And everyone thought they were going to be here, but they've done it in style.
The first half of the campaign, they've certainly been an enjoyable team to watch along with the team at the top. I think you really saw the quality of both these teams in their most recent match against each other, and certainly that could be a finals preview. I think really consistency from top to bottom has been the main story for these top two teams, and especially with Delhi. You know, the thing that worries me is, you know, this Rishabh Pant injury could cause some issues moving forwards. Hopefully it's not a long term, but it really has disturbed the balance of the team. Ishant Sharma is also out, so you know that's a big Indian pacer that we don't have at our services. But you know, overall at the top, you know, Prithvi Shah has kind of been like here and there. You know, when he scores like 25 or more, Delhi win just about all those matches, so that's a really big key. Shikhar has kind of been like, he hasn't been at his peak, I would say, but he's been consistent enough where they're getting off to starts, getting some boundaries in the power play. I think Iyer and Pant have been very solid overall. And then in the middle order, Marcus Stoinis has been a really big boon. I think one of the big questions we had at the beginning of the season was who was going to be that lower order finisher for Delhi, and he's certainly stepped up so far, and Hedmeyer has also finally played a good innings. And then, you know, the bowling attack has been absolutely top-notch. I mean, Rabada is world-class. Norcha has been very good. And some of the, you know, Ashwin has been a really nice addition as well. You can definitely see his experience, and he's definitely bringing some controversy with him as well to Delhi. I think Akshar Patel has also definitely performed much better than we expected, especially with that Amit Mishra injury. You know, the question was who's going to be that second Indian spinner behind him. So, you know, a lot of consistency, a lot of good things happening so far. Once Pant is back in the team, you know, I think just the top order firing a little bit more, and they'll, if they keep performing well, they can easily be in the finals.
Yeah, I think Anish covered everything there. He talked about all the players, Akshar Patel, Ashwin, Rabada, Norkiev, everyone is doing well for them. But as Anish mentioned as well, the Rishabh Pant injury is a huge concern for them because we saw in the last game, they weren't able to finish as big as they wanted. Dhawan just couldn't get going, and Alex Carey as well just finding his form in his first game. They finished on 162, where they could have easily got 170, 175, and that was the difference towards the end. So if Rishabh Pant is out for a couple of more games, that means Hetmeyer is out for a couple of more games, which gives them big concerns for their finishing. Stoinis is doing that job. He got run out in the last game, which was also a big reason why they couldn't finish big. But yeah, Pant and Hetmeyer need to be back as quickly as possible for them. Because if they lose the next couple of games when Pantia and Etwan are not there, then the pressure will be mounting on them.
Yeah, I mean, with this team, I'm really not concerned about their batting lineup. I think they bat extremely deep. Shubham, as you said, of course, this is Rishabh Pant going out is a huge injury. I'm hoping that he'll be back, and by the time the playoffs come around, they'll be in a position, regardless, to where it's not going to matter too much for them. They'll be in that 1-2-3 seed position and be able to fight through and have Rishabh Pant there to bat for them at number four. The big thing for me has been the performance of Rabada and Nautier. Right, Rabada hasn't been this good in an IPL so far, and Nortier has not. I don't know. Has he played an IPL? I don't know.
No, this is his first IPL, and he's been solid. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, and he's been performing excellent. So, and then Akshar, I think, has been the sleeper here. I think he's been fantastic with the bat, fantastic in the field, and he's one of the top bowlers right now. His economy rate is superb. He has a lot of height, doesn't give the batsman too much time and bowls extremely accurately. And if he continues that way, I mean, he's a threat in the middle order. He almost reminds me of Rashid Khan, not in the way that he, not in his action or the way that he bowls, but just how tight he is, right? Just tight on middle and off every time. If you want to go after him, you better slog sweep and you better time it perfectly. Otherwise, you're giving a catch somewhere. So he's a huge asset for this team. And I think the big thing for them is going to be, can their bowling keep up the performances that they've had so far? I think that's going to be the real key for them. Top bowling team in the league so far. If they can continue to be in the top three bowling-wise in this league, I think they have the batting firepower to win this all.
On to the team at the top. I can't believe it's an even year, but 2020 is full of surprises. Mumbai Indians somehow are at the top of the table halfway through the IPL season. I think we mentioned their roster has been phenomenal. The performances have come from all over the place. I think the biggest surprise for me has been Kyron Pollard, because Kyron Pollard does this thing where four or five games he really struggles and you question whether he should be in the team and taking up that international spot. And then he just starts hitting 80 off 40 consistently. And you wonder why you were ever questioning Kyron Pollard's place in Mumbai Indians' side. This season, it's been totally different. He's been, from the word go, he's been performing for them. He's been finishing well for them. I think Hardik Pandya really needs to get going. He's sort of struggled. He's had a couple games, but he hasn't been the Hardik Pandya that we know. I think their top order has been phenomenal. They've gotten some big contributions from their openers. Suryakumar Yadav is continuing to show tremendous growth as the season goes on. And their bowling has been hit or miss at the beginning, but I think they're starting to find that consistency. Trent Bolt has been good. Jasprit Bumrah is starting to round into form. They can always bring in Nathan Coulter-Nile if they feel James Pattinson is not hitting. Rahul Chahar has been fantastic. So I mean, there's no real weak spot here. You just got to hope that they stay healthy. But Mumbai Indians look like, along with Delhi Capitals, exactly what we thought they were going to be halfway through this IPL season.
There's one thing that I would say for this team that is significantly better by far than every other team in this IPL: middle order performances. That has been huge for this team. I mean, if you count four as a middle order performance in IPL, which I do, Ishan Kishan, Hardik Pandya, Kyron Pollard, Grunal Pandya. Right, Grunal Pandya is not the best batsman, but he came in one time and he scored 20 off about six balls. Every time this middle order has come in, they bat deep enough to where they just need two out of five people in that middle order to go off, and they've had that talent that has done that. And middle order is the key for T20, right? I mean, aside from David Warner and Johnny Bairstow, who used to bat 20 overs before, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but would score a majority of Sunrisers' runs in 2019. The middle order has been the key in most T20 matches, and I think this is the best right now. They're in form. They're fully clicking. And the biggest thing, a lot of their middle order also bowls, and bowls with a really good economy rate. So as far as complete teams go in the IPL, I think this is the most complete team. I think they have the most weapons at all positions, batting and bowling. And I think it's hard to say that they're not the favorites to win the IPL this year.
Yeah, I agree. The biggest thing for me is that they've kept almost the same starting lineup as last year, other than like one bowler changing in and out, with Mitchell McClenahan for Bolt or James Pattinson coming in. So, you know, they're the defending champions. They played well, and, you know, you're seeing them perform like they're used to. I think Surya Kumar Yadav has made the biggest step this year, and that has really made a huge difference for the solidity of the lineup, just being an anchor at that number three position. But not just an anchor, someone that's able to score quickly and still keep his wicket at the same time. And that's really what a lot of these other teams are still looking for. And then, like you mentioned, that middle order is fierce. Like, you know, a lot of times with these teams, it's like, let's get three down, four down, then you can run through the team. With Mumbai, it's relentless. So, absolutely great match with Delhi. I think Mumbai made it a little closer than they really needed to be honest, but I think you did see a little bit of the gulf in the class between the two teams during that match.
Yeah, the one thing which we can see about Mumbai Indians is they have used the least number of players. I guess 13 players they have used in this tournament so far, which just shows how consistent their playing 11 has been. Each and everyone has scored runs in the top 7, and almost everyone has done brilliantly with the ball. Trent Bolt, Jasprit Bumrah, and James Pattinson has been up and down. So as Chinmay mentioned, they can always bring in Nathan Coulter-Knight for him. They have a great option in him. But apart from that, Krunal Pandya as well has done well. You mentioned 24 deliveries against SRH, and Rahul Chahar has been good as well. So this team looks really, really up at the top at the moment, and they are definitely making the top 4.
Yeah, Mumbai. Oh, go ahead.
It's such a luxury as a captain to have 7 bowling options in every single match. You know, it's very easy for one bowler to get targeted. And you know what? It's like, oh, well, shoot. Well, I have to bowl this guy 3 more overs. So there go like 40, 50 runs. You know, Rohit Sharma, if someone's having an off day, 1 over and you're done. And you can still put in a really good, well-rounded bowling performance.
No, Hardik Pandya hasn't even bowled over. And in fact, Kyron Pollard is bowling, which is even a great thing for them, because he bowls cutters which gonna stick and stick in the wicket, which is gonna be difficult for the batsman.
Yep, that's exactly the point I was gonna make, right? Hardik Pandya is a great T20 bowler, but you know, he's had back problems, and of course the BCCI does not want him bowling right now. They need him back for international cricket when all of this is over and stuff resumes, so he hasn't gotten a chance to bowl. But I mean, if you think about it, going forward, I don't know if he's gonna get cleared this season. But I mean, Mumbai really has 8 bowling options and the strongest batting lineup, if you really think about it. So it's you know, it's a tough team to face.
Mumbai screwed around the first couple games with Saurabh Tiwari, but then came to their senses and played Ishan Kishan. So I was happy to see them make that change. But yeah, barring injuries, I think Mumbai on paper, the team to beat. We'll jump now to general IPL trends. This has been a unique IPL, shifted from India to UAE due to the global pandemic. I think the best thing has been that there hasn't been a COVID outbreak in UAE among the IPL teams, because that would have thrown the entire competition for a loop. And I don't know if they have reserve days built in to extend the competition. I think they would be able to get it done, but it's nice to see that there hasn't been a major outbreak among the teams, that they're at least sticking to the protocols and following them well. I want to go to the unheralded contributions of some of the not-so-big-name players that have made the impact in the IPL. And I think this is really important for franchise cricket in general. Every team is going to have 2 or 3 big names, but it's guys like Norche, Padikkal, Sam Curran, Rahul Tewatia, Surya Kumar Yadav, Rahul Tripathi, Washington Sundar. These are the guys that win you the IPL. These are the guys that win you franchise cricket. The unheralded guys who come in and just consistently perform. And I know, you know, Tewatia had a few out there performances. Padikkal, we've seen him go up and down. But they're better than what those teams have gotten in the past in those situations. So I think that's one thing that's really stood out to me, is the importance of some of these unheralded guys coming in and performing has really elevated some of these teams to where we thought they were at the beginning of the season to where they are halfway through.
So I'm going to point out one situation between one player that you mentioned there and probably the top IPL bowler that everyone is seeking after. And the point of this is to mention how big momentum is in T20 matches, right? bowlers come in and they get to bowl four overs. So when they bowl four overs, the next match, they've only bowled 24 balls, and they're coming in with a mindset based on what's happened in the last match. So big thing for me, Rashid Khan, possibly the best bowler in the IPL, definitely the best T20 spinner in the world. I don't think many people would argue with that. You know, came in with an economy rate of under 6 before the match against Rajasthan. He came against Rahul Tewatia, someone who you mentioned as one of those key players. And, you know, Rashid Khan has been known for putting up a googly where no one else can read when that googly is coming in. Rahul Tewatia came in and in two balls read both the googlies and reverse swept Rashid Khan as a lefty for four twice, right? And ended up going on to win that match. That is huge. I don't think people understand how big that is. That's a big contribution that gets Rashid Khan unsettled for the rest of the tournament going forward. As you saw, he came in today against CSK, and Shane Watson, a batsman who has not been playing that well and has not been in form, was able to hit him for a lot of sixes today. And I'm not going to say that's purely because Tewatia came in and rattled him up, but it's a big, I think it's a contributing factor. So, you know, like you said, these types of innings are things that change the course of a whole tournament, not just a match. And I think it's important to notice that in T20, it's a lot about momentum. And when these players come in and have big performances, they change the course of how other teams play as well. So for me, Tewatia, those two innings where he hit Cottrell, who was one of the top bowlers in the IPL before he was hit for 5-6 in that over, and then Rashid Khan, now after that match and after today's match with CSK, Rashid Khan's economy rate has gone way up and is no longer in the top three. So, yeah, Rahul Tewatia is a difference maker for me. I'm interested to see what he does going forward, and I'm interested to see how the players that you mentioned, Chinmay, make impacts on those top players, those top two players on each team.
I think a couple highlights for me. One, definitely given the pandemic, that it hasn't hit the IPL, that's been a huge win for all of us, for the players, for the fans all over the world.
Absolutely.
That's number one at the top of my list. Number two at the top of my list is I'm glad there's a ground very similar to the Chinnaswamy in Sharjah, where the boundaries are very, very short. And so we have the opportunity to see some pretty high scores.
But you gotta have some fun games, right, Anish?
Exactly. So it's nice to have at least that sprinkled it for sure. I think one of the things that I've been a little surprised by has been the overall quality of the fielding. I feel like it hasn't been as high as what I'm used to. I feel like we're seeing a lot of drop catches, which I just feel like is perhaps a bit more uncharacteristic than what I'm used to. I mean, like, we saw like Jadeja drop two catches like within four overs in a match. Again, that's confidence playing at it there. But I think that's something just because these players have been out for a while, getting back to the game intensity, getting back to regular training. I think we'll see an improvement in the second half of the IPL.
The fielding has definitely improved from the first few matches. It was absolutely atrocious in those first three or four games, but it has definitely gotten better, and I agree. I think it will get better.
Yeah, actually, I was going to make the same point. The catching is not that great because, as Anish mentioned, Jadeja dropping two, Kohli dropping two easy catches against Kings XI and Punjab. Many players have dropped catches. So, yeah, the fielding. But on the other hand, the saves on the boundary have been brilliant. We saw Nicholas Puran, we saw Glenn Maxwell, and some of these players just diving and saving sixes for fun. So, it's good. But yeah, the dropped catches haven't been really good to see.
One thing that I would like to see go away from the IPL, this fair play award is absolute garbage. Just get rid of it. Because I went and looked at the history of who's won this thing. CSK have won the award 6 times. They got banned for 2 years in a spot-fixing scandal. So what's the fair play about? Get it out of here. We don't need it. It serves no purpose. It's an arbitrary umpire thing that has no semblance of meaning to the game at all. I mean, a team that got banned for 2 years for spot-fixing won the award 6 times. It's irrelevant. Just get rid of it. It serves no purpose. And that's something that I would absolutely like to see go away. One more thing that I've been disappointed in has been the tactics, particularly in super overs. They have been god awful. Kings XI, in their super over against Delhi, opted to send three players who I think scored maybe like 15 total runs in the innings. And an informed Mayank Agarwal was left out. Now, whether Mayank Agarwal himself said that he was too tired to play is a different question. In my opinion, like, you have some time to rest, take a couple training sessions off. But I'm trying to win this match. And if you have a broken leg and physically can't walk out there, that's like the only time that you're not going out there. And that was just shocking to me. Mumbai Indians also did this. Granted, they did send Pollard in, but Ishan Kishan, who had played a brilliant innings to get them to that point, wasn't in the super over. It's a little bit shocking to me that, you know, tactically some of these teams are just making boneheaded mistakes. And we've seen the tactics go wrong for other teams throughout matches, but particularly in super overs, where it's such a marginal game, I think, you know, the difference in tactics, like, that wins you the match right there. And Kings 11 and Mumbai, shockingly, both lost the super over.
Chinmay, while we're on it, can I throw out one more complaint? So one thing that I've noticed is, so I don't know if everyone saw this, but Jadeja took, despite dropping a lot, took a spectacular diving catch at the boundary. And as he was approaching the rope, flipped the ball to Duplessis, right? And he made the catch. Now, in American baseball, when you have a double play, we assign that second person some credit, but the original person who fielded it gets a lot of the credit, right? Jadeja ends up with zero catches. So I'm going to throw something wild out there, and I'm going to propose a half catch in cricket going forward in the T20s, because I want Jadeja to get some credit for catching that ball and tossing up to Duplessis. So that's my rant of today.
You know, I will step it up one further. I think you could even give Jadeja the whole catch credit.
Okay.
Because, you know,
I'm with you.
You know what, during runouts, they would give the credit to the person that threw the ball and the wicketkeeper. And now it's just the person that threw the ball that gets the credit. So
that's right.
You're doing really the hard work. So I think you could apply the same logic here.
That is a great point.
Yeah, I agree with part there, because most of the hard work has been done by Jadeja. Fab just to put Jadeja through it, yeah, I agree with Parth there.
And now we have Ben Stokes coming back for the second half of the tournament, so we might be seeing a few more of those.
There you go, I know, yeah. Ben Stokes is known to catch the ball near the boundary and launch it 30 yards across the mid-on or mid-off. So yeah, I mean, is that 1.5 an each? Go with that.
As long as they get rid of the Fair Play Award, you can give quarter catches for all I care. But that award needs to go.
Chinmay has a clear agenda.
Yeah, I just out of curiosity, I looked up how that's calculated. So we could just see.
Oh, there was an explanation?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
So the umpire awards the points. So you get 4 points if you uphold the spirit of the game, 2 points if you respect the opposition, 2 points if you respect the laws and rules of cricket, and 2 points if you respect the umpires. So,
interesting.
So how CSK won this award 6 times, spot fixing, beats me.
Well, don't explain, and then the umpires don't call wides, and then that's...
On that note, that's going to wrap up this edition of the Follow On Podcast. Be sure to check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and as always, all of our content at followoncricket.com.